Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
And we have another instance of a man saving a child's life, a father saving his son's life, an uncle saving a nephew's life. This is in California. An Irvine man used his footwear to fight off a ravenous coyote that attacked his three-year-old son at a park on Tuesday. According to authorities, this father and son were at a neighborhood playground, and they were there just to enjoy the evening when the attack took place. The coyote clamped down on the left leg of this man's son. He frantically tried to find something to hit the animal with. He said there was nothing like a stone or anything that he could pick up and throw at him, so he pulled off his shoe and threw it at the animal, and the animal ran off. But then the coyote turned its attention on the father, and he managed to ward it off, pick up his kid, and run off. The police were called, and when they arrived, the coyote was standing its ground. Authorities said the animal snarled, showed no signs of fear, and they made the decision to kill the coyote. And then they did a test on it, and no evidence of rabies was found. So what causes a coyote to be aggressive like that? They aren't usually. And those of us who live out in the West, we're familiar with coyotes to a degree because you see them eating out of your dog's dish sometimes. If you don't let the cat outside at night, especially if you live up in the mountains. And sometimes you see them just walking down the street. But what would cause them to do that? It was like a mother with some cubs in a den or something? I don't know. Dr. Herb Sewell has joined us, who was quoted in the press yesterday as saying that a lot of these stories might be destructive.
Well, the publication of it, Phil, I think can be destructive, yes, because the effect it has...
On other parents.
On other parents.
Well, tell me about that. What effect is it having?
I think there is a tendency to play these things up so it makes other parents look as if they're not as heroic. This man in Florida who saved his nephew's life, this gentleman in Irvine who saved his son's life, make the other parents perhaps have a self-image that isn't quite as strong or potent as they thought it was.
So the reporting of this makes other parents feel inferior?
I would say that is a fair estimation, yes, that other parents do not feel as strong as perhaps they might. They feel that they're losing stature in the eyes of their children when their children read these stories. But also, more importantly, they feel that there is another parent out there that obviously had the guts, to...
Well, we all want to think we have the guts, don't we?
Well, we all want to think we have the guts. But how many of you actually have the guts? I'll start with you, Phil. Do you...
Well, I want to think that I have the guts...
Let's say to go into the ocean to get a shark. Do you have the guts for that?
Do I have the guts for that? If one of my kids was being attacked?
So it's speculation and nothing more. And so the parents feel that. And the children see this. They see that there was a man who helped his son. There was a daddy that helped his son. There was an uncle that helped his nephew. And when will my daddy help me? When will my daddy be as strong? The parents sense this. They feel they have to make something happen. I think it can be very destructive to the point where there could be some manufacturing of these events.
Well, that you're saying that some parents might actually manufacture an animal attack?
I was interested in the story in Florida, the man who said that there was a bite.
Surfer.
A surfer, yes, who said he'd been bitten by a shark. They said that there hadn't been a shark attack. So
So you suspect that...
I don't suspect. We do have in Wichita, over the last 2 days, a man who, apparently when police asked him why he did it, he said it was for these reasons.
What did he do?
He took a BB gun and shot at the family dog, and the dog got so enraged it went after his daughter, and then he ran out of the house.
And he did that on purpose so that his daughter would think that daddy's a hero?
That's what he told the police, yes. And the upside, I guess, is that his daughter thinks he's a hero. The downside is that the animal was destroyed. And also, of course, there's cruelty to animal charges.
Well, the daughter's going to find out someday that her father shot at that dog just to bug the dog.
Yes.
Someday she'll find out.
I don't know if she'll find out. In the interim, though, the father is a big hero. He's a big shot. He saved the woman in Phoenix who put her son on an anthill, sat him down on a red anthill, and went inside, and she told police she waited for the screams, and when she heard them...
Oh, my God, she put the kid on a red anthill, man. That can be poisonous.
Well, she put the child down just long enough to hear him scream. She went outside and turned the hose on him. And, of course, the child now thinks mommy is a big hero, too. These manufacturing of animal attacks are very real as well. And they are part and parcel of the parent's need for the child's love and the child's need to see the parent as a hero.
So there are two things at work here, all of it born from these reports of uncles and fathers saving their children.
Two things at work. One is the need for the parent to be loved, and the other for the child to see their parent as a... And we will see more of this in the weeks to come after these reports. I don't see how we can get around it.
All right, Dr. Herb Sewell is with us, 1-800-449-8686. Are parents so jealous of the guy in Florida who got the arm out of the shark, of the guy in California who fought off the coyote? Are they so jealous of these men who were heroically saving the lives of their young people that they would go out and manufacture animal attacks? And they're so insecure, I would think, right?
Well, there really isn't any opportunity to be a hero these days, Phil. There is no opportunity to stand up like a man. You go to work, you come home, and you become a non-person. So when your child reads in the newspaper that a man saved his nephew's life by wrestling a shark to the beach, you don't feel like much of a man. In the eyes of your own children. So then you have to begin to manufacture things. And this phenomenon is interesting. In Indiana, where a man grabbed the child and pulled him under, did you read about that?
No.
Well, it was his own child, and he pulled the child under until the child almost drowned, and then when the child went to the surface, he told him that he fought off the bad man that tried to drown him.
And he was the guy actually pulling his own kid under.
That's correct. And now the child thinks my daddy fought off this terrible person.
Well, what happens when they find out finally their father lied?
Well, I don't know that they ever need to, and I think the children want to idealize their fathers and their mothers, so I don't think they ever really need to. And when they do, it's generally as an adult.
1-800-449-8686 with Dr. Herb Sewell. So these animal attacks that have been taking place on young people, there is a very real danger that they may begin to be manufactured, that a parent would actually... What parent is going to these are sick people, in other words.
I don't know that they're sick. I think they're desperate for their child's love, and I think they're desperate to be seen as a hero. Of course, the City Zoo incident in Canada, where the parent... and this was during one of these supervised visits to the zoo, where you can take a behind-the-scenes tour. When the cage door was opened, the parent pushed the child in with a leopard, and then grabbed the child out, and the child, of course...
Wait a minute, the parent pushed a kid in with a live African leopard?
That is at feeding time, and then pulled the child out and said, oh my God, and of course he's a big hero.
Well, who did he explain to the kid pushed him in?
Well, he could say anything, that someone bumped him in or that the zookeeper himself did it. I think in this instance he made up some terrible story that the zookeeper was some kind of maniac. And of course, the zookeeper was entirely innocent, and it took some... This could happen to the average person, is what I'm saying, Phil.
In other words, to me, this sounds like these are only sick people.
No, the jealousy that parents feel over the shark attack... the jealousy the parents feel over the man who saved his boy from the shark, that is widespread. Parents are jealous. They wish they were that strong. They wish they were that big and bad and rough and tough. And I don't think there's a father out there that doesn't wish he couldn't wrestle a shark to shore. When, in point of fact, we realize that most of the men listening to your program right now I like to say, couldn't wrestle their own penises, because...
All right, that's fine.
But you see the point I'm...
Yeah, I see the point you're making. 1-800-449-8686 with Dr. Herb Sewell. Well, I don't know. These news stories he's referring to, I haven't seen them, but there is a epidemic of parents jealous of the man in Florida who wrestled that shark to the shore, jealous that they aren't as strong as he is, jealous that they're not as strong as any man who would wrestle a shark and may not have the guts to do that. And so the upshot is there's these manufactured animal attacks, and some of them can be very dangerous. You want your kid to love you? You want to be a big shot? That's fine. You don't push the kid into a live African leopard cage and then pull him out and go, ooh, who did that? You don't shoot BBs at the pet dog, wait for it to get so enraged it goes after your own kid, ready to tear him to pieces, and then run out, because a tragedy could happen. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
But a parent is desperate for a child's love. As much as the child is desperate to respect a parent.
So the parent is desperate to get that love by staging staging something to make him look like a hero, to make him look like that man in Florida who saved the leg or whatever it was.
I think it was the arm.
The arm, I mean, of the nephew.
That is correct, and I think any normal parent can do this. It's very important to understand that you could be perfectly normal in every other way, in appearance, in behavior, in habit, and I suppose the one place where parents are closest to wild animals with their young people is the zoo. You could be at the zoo, near the primate house, and it's fascinating to stand at the primate house and look at all of the animals, but to actually shove a child in with a gorilla, I don't know.
Well, what parent, I mean, what normal parent...
There are parents that would do that.
Normal parents?
Yes, to get the child out of the gorilla house and therefore make themselves look like heroes.
Okay, 1-800-449-8686 is the number here on the Phil Hendry Show to talk to Dr. Herbert Sewell. Larry, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hey, Bill, how are you doing?
Yes, sir.
Listen, I don't mean to criticize Dr. Sewell or start anything here, but what I'm hearing a lot of is the word epidemic.
I don't believe I've used the word epidemic. I am
well,
saying.
Yeah, you have, and I've heard you use the word, I think, an awful lot, too. I kind of joined the show a little bit late, so I'm not really sure what your credentials are.
I feel that these fathers that are saving their children from the attacks of wild animals, the child being rendered by a wildebeest or whatever, I think could inspire other parents to want to look like big shots, too.
Well, I've heard you use a lot of examples. There are several examples of folks in Canada and this and that and the other. Although I'm not really hearing much forcing of any of that stuff. Most of the fathers that I've had an opportunity to speak with around here or anybody that I've seen is basically in awe of this fellow. If you let me finish here.
I'm letting you finish. I'm having a difficult time hearing you.
All right, Larry, if you could speak up, I guess that's what the problem
okay,
is.
Okay, I'm on the cell phone.
I'm saying, though, that we can all expect people to start throwing rattlesnakes at their children. What would you do if they started doing that? That's all I'm saying.
Well, obviously that would be a problem. However, that's quite a great deal of speculation, and make the jump from an incident here to something that might be a very widespread kind of activity.
Well, do you have children?
Yes, I do.
All right, so have you ever felt like pushing your child off of, let's say, a pier and then diving in to save him? It's a normal feeling.
I don't know anybody who has.
What is a normal feeling?
It is entirely normal to want to save your child from danger, to be a hero to that child.
So I'm standing on the end of the Santa Monica Pier. I push my kid in so I can dive in to save him?
that
so
is.
I think it's a natural feeling to want to save your child.
Yes.
I think it's an absurd feeling, and I kind of agree with what Phil's saying earlier that the notion of of creating an incident to save your child is going over the edge of extremely. I guess non-normal behavior. That's not normal behavior.
I have to tell you, it's Larry, isn't it?
Right.
Larry, I'm a doctor in the marriage, family, and child counseling, and I think that I'm eminently qualified to comment on what is normal.
Wait a minute. You said that a man pushed his child into a gorilla cage, or
no? It was a live leopard.
A live African leopard. And
no, but I would say it would be normal for you, Phil, or for instance, Larry, to want to push the child into the gorilla cage only to withdraw the child's safety. I'm saying that we can all expect to have that feeling.
I've never had that feeling. I don't know anyone who ever has.
Well, I would ask
and
you.
I think maybe you have. And I think given the kind of bit work that you do, you're not dealing all the time with rational people.
My daughter's name is Kelly. I love her more than life itself. But a fireman saved her from a burning car, which unfortunately took the life of my wife.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Thank you. But the point I'm trying to make is all she now does, Larry, is talk about the fireman. The fireman. It's like a broken record. And as a result, I have considered staging a home invasion so that I could save her and me get back to being a big shot.
Dr. Sewell, like you may need to see somebody yourself.
I beg pardon?
I can say it for you, Larry. It sounds like you might need some counseling on the death of your wife. On the
well, how dare both of you to say? I'm saying that the child is talking about this fireman. It's driving me nuts. And
he saved her life. He saved her life, didn't he?
Oh, so you're going to start in now? Is that what you're going to do?
Starting in.
Let me say that
you're considering staging a home invasion so that you can be a big shot and save her life,
or a rape when she gets older. Yes.
Then I think you're the one in need of counseling, quite frankly. And your evidence providing here is purely anecdotal.
Yes, and it's out of
and
newspapers.
It's no more, and it is of no more value than me saying that every parent that I've ever talked to around here about this incident with a boy in Florida.
Yeah.
Is in awe of this guy's
you're not jealous
behavior.
You're not jealous.
Absolutely not.
All right, that's
to me, it's amazing that someone would have that kind of.
If my daughter mentions this fireman again, I'm gonna go nuts.
All right,
okay.
Look,
well, that's
Larry,
I guess that's not, that's a personal problem.
Okay, Larry, I got to take.
Quite frankly, my wife works for DCF. You would be in a little bit of danger right now.
Your wife
in terms
works
of,
for what? For the child in danger? I don't understand.
All right, okay, Larry, thanks for your call. I think he's saying that your child, your daughter. I think you're taking things a little far. Here's Andre on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hi. I'm a father of a 4-year-old son.
Uh-huh.
And basically what I would like to say is I think this doctor is actually Looney Tunes. I mean, what kind of father would honestly endanger his child to become a hero? To me,
I would never put my child in any real danger. What I'm saying is...
Did you not consider saving her from a rape or something to impress her about the firefighter?
I would stage a rape.
How would you stage a rape?
That is crazy. Do you know how much psychological damage you would do by staging a rape?
But I would also do great psychological benefit by showing her that I saved her from being raped. She wouldn't be raped.
Wouldn't you be more of a father to keep her from any kind of danger?
That's what I'm saying. That's what I would do.
You
can hire a college student to dress up in a ski mask, come through her bedroom window, and begin to take his pants off.
So don't you think that?
And then you come busted.
You would be afraid of any college student in a mask.
Any college student in a mask coming through
her
bedroom.
She would be afraid to come through a window. Or
coming
anything.
Through her bedroom, but then I bust through the door with an axe handle,
and save the day.
And save the day.
1-800-449-8686. These parents are jealous of the man who saved the kid in Florida. They want to stage their own animal attacks. We'll be back on the Phil Henry Show. We'll be right back.
1-800-449-8686. And now, Phil Hendry.
My daughter Kelly is 4 years of age, and she lost her mother very young. I don't want her fixating on the fireman who saved her from the burning car more than she might fixate on me. And the reason for that, I think, is simple, Phil. I'm her father. This fireman is some civil servant who obviously is some beefcake and is on one of those calendars that the firemen do.
Well, so what if he's on, you mean those Firefox calendars, those guys do those calendars?
You know the calendars the firemen do?
Yeah, they do the, they're like beefcake photos or whatever the hell they call them.
That's right. It bothers me. It bothers me, her looking up to him, and someday she'll be pubescent, she'll be a young woman and might consider something more than hero worship with him.
Okay, 1-800-449...
Well, you sound as if you don't...
Do I think you're a little cuckoo? I mean, no.
Well, you sound as if you're not understanding what I'm saying. No, if you think I'm nuts, you're the one that's nuts.
Okay, well... You're telling me about your daughter, and she got saved from a burning car, and he may be in a beefcake calendar, and she might dig him. This stuff is well beyond, I will give it to you, this stuff is well beyond my understanding. Here's Mike in Salt Lake City. Hello, Mike, go ahead.
I really find it absurd that this doctor is even contemplating throwing his child into a gorilla well. I mean, basically, it's completely idiotic.
The gorilla well is a safe environment for the ape. Are you familiar with zoological aspects?
Not particularly, but I know that it's definitely not safe to hurl your child.
I'm not talking about chucking the child into a gorilla well. I'm talking about opening gently the back door of the gorilla well entrance area.
Then what good does that do? The child knows you're opening it just to stick the child in there.
The kid knows you're opening it.
No, the child does not know. You do this without the child knowing it. Gently usher the child into the gorilla pen, close the door, and wait for
A gorilla to come around the corner?
A gorilla, first of all, is an herbivore. It is not a man-eater. It is not a flesh-eater. So any untoward motion the ape would make toward your child would be simply staging and showing his dominance in the pack.
You can't.
Wait a second. You got a 4-year-old child, and you're giving me some kind of a zoological explanation of the pack habits of apes.
Exactly.
I'm not interested.
You've never considered rubbing barbecue sauce on your child before putting him in a pen.
What? No. What are you talking about?
I'll tell you what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the idea that you could save a child, your child, Mike, and be a hero for life. And all you have to do is rub the child down
with barbecue sauce.
And the gorilla simply licks the child, does not hurt the child at all.
But the child is traumatized. Do you understand? You're scaring the crap. And what do you mean rubbing him down with Bubba's barbecue sauce? What, there's some special kind?
You can use the Jim Beam if you want.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, Mike, you tried it?
You're risking the life of your child
How is that risking the life of the child when the ape only is licking the barbecue sauce off?
You have no idea that he'll be just licking that. That's absurd to me.
Okay, thank you very much. That's putting a child, that's endangering a child for your kicks.
It is not kicks, Mr. Hendry. It is trying to reestablish and reconnect the parent-child symbiosis without the intrusion of newspaper heroes. You put a banana in the kid's pocket. You open the back door of the primate well, and you let the fun begin. And the ape never touches the kid. My word on that.
Oh, well. Shelley, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
I am thinking that this guy, you've got some Munchausens by proxy. And these other parents...
Munchausen by proxy.
Absolutely.
That I'm familiar with the syndrome, and I Munchausen by proxy is when you make a child ill.
Well, what are you doing?
Or when you do something to harm that child so that you can then come in and save and get the attention.
I've not harmed a child, though.
Well, but you're... you're doing something to harm the child.
What am I doing?
Well, you don't think you're psychologically harming a child by staging a rape? A child seeing a stranger come into their bedroom and
I said
not
you just,
knowing the person, even if you're there or not, is going to psychologically damage that child forever.
Well, I
and
she's not a child.
And you are going to get your kudos, and you are going to get your pats on the back for saving this child from whomever
Absolutely.
You're going to get it from. And this child is going to be damaged forever. Do you want grandchildren?
Shelley.
Do you want grandchildren someday?
Shelley, calm down.
Oh, no, I'm not going to calm down. This child was a gift from God to you. And you're getting
Shelley,
your kicks and your pats on the back by ruining this child psychologically?
You're talking about rubbing barbecue sauce on a kid or putting
Damn
a banana
you.
In his...
To hell.
Putting a banana in his pocket and putting him into the gorilla pen.
And so both of you can sit there and tell me that you seriously never wanted to put tartar sauce on your child
children.
And put him into a tank with cello.
Six children.
And you never
One
wanted...
One is severely disabled and has spent years in the hospital.
That would be a perfect
I would
opportunity
never...
to experiment.
I
you
would...
could experiment with the child, the slow child in your family, the one that
never.
Is retarded. You
she
could
is
put
not
him...
retarded. Did I say retarded?
You said slow. You
I did
said,
not. I said
well,
she's severely
you...
disabled.
You said
Do you
she
have
didn't...
ears?
You said she didn't get it.
You did.
I
she did
said
not
that.
Say she didn't get it.
I did not say that.
You, she never said that.
That
Listen
I mis-
up, dude.
That I misheard. But what I'm saying, Shelley, with that child
You're
that
absurd.
Is... The child that is disabled could be rubbed with tartar sauce and put into a tank
You're insane.
With a whale.
You're friggin' insane. And I hope every one of your clients
I,
every one of their parents are listening to you. And I surely hope that they pull their children and pull their individuals, their family members, their loved ones from your care.
Let
and you go out of business.
Loose,
and I hope that DCFS is listening
well,
and that your child is taken from your custody because you surely, sir,
I didn't
do,
do
not deserve
wrong.
To have a child
I'm experimenting.
In your life.
I simply want to put a little... peanut oil on the child's head
Give
and put
break.
It in with a
You're
with
a, loon.
With a
Why don't you kill
elephant.
Yourself? Hurt yourself, kill yourself,
you,
you
know
can go to
a,
hell,
you, know
you can
a,
get all of the kudos you want, Satan will pat you on the back.
Yeah, they'll give you a standing ovation in hell.
That's right.
A jealous
go for
parent,
it, buddy. Kill yourself, leave your kid alone.
Don't you understand that a jealous parent is capable of covering their child with bird seed and placing them in an open field?
A jealous child, you got it right there. A jealous
A jealous parent.
Parent.
A jealous parent.
A jealous parent.
Yes, just like you.
Jealous of the innocence, the beauty, the absolute.
You have six children, correct? You have six children, correct?
Of a child.
Aren't you
jealous?
Aren't you the least bit jealous of parents that have six normal children?
Absolutely not.
Oh my God.
I love my daughter, and I do everything with my daughter. She goes everywhere with us.
Well, you never
You're
wanted
insane.
To put. Put a little bird seed on her.
Okay, I'm done with him.
I'm done too.
I apologize, Shelley.
You know, you need to just kill yourself and get it over with.
Who, me? I hung up on the guy.
Oh, well, thank you. Good.
Okay, that's, yeah.
You'll make it to heaven.
All right, thank you. Boy. 1-800-449-8686. By the way, is anybody listening in Houston tonight? Just give us a call if you're... If you're in Houston. Have we had any calls from Houston tonight? Oh, we have? Oh, okay. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686.
I am Phil Henry. I do the voices not only of, I do the voice of myself. I'm Phil, I'm doing this voice, but I also do the voices of the characters on this show. Now, what do I mean by the characters? I mean the guests that I bring on. Well, for instance, the character I just did, Dr. Herb Sewell, that was being performed by me. Now, the lady who just called, it was Shelley, Mike? Was that her name? Shelley was very exercised. Perhaps you're listening to me right now, Shelley. You were arguing with a voice that I was doing. And maybe that make you feel a little bit better about the world, knowing that there really isn't a guy who believes it is sound therapy in terms of parent-child nurturing and relationship to stick a banana in your kid's pocket and push him gently into an ape pen at the zoo. Or maybe it pisses you off even more, knowing that I do the voice and that you engaged me in that matter. Maybe that makes you even angry, but at least now you know what the show's about. In fact, let me give you an example why Why, here's an example from yesterday's show.
Phil Hendry. Flashback.
Yeah, the Republicans should be using this, Phil, as a way to bury the Democrats, but they're holding back. And they ought to be sticking it in and breaking it off. And I will tell you, and what's Bush doing, he's over in Europe right now, you know. So...
Okay, this is... Why do you want to be political hay out of something?
Well, right now, the Republican Party has a very wonderful opportunity to up their giggy with a wah-wah brush, twist it, and break it off. And yet they don't want to do that. And
are you a Republican?
No, sir, I'm a Democrat.
So you want to...
Well, I mean, that's what I do, you know. If I was a member, don't you know, of the... of the Republican Party, but I'm not.
So they ought to be making some political hate. What about the missing girl?
Well, the D.C. police is doing everything they can to do that. So, but I'd be sticking it in, twisting it, and breaking it off.
Just to make them suffer.
Yes, sir, because this is another opportunity for the Republicans to make a point. And they ought to be taking it to them with a wire pipe cleaner, sticking it up, turning it, then breaking it off.
Okay, I got the graphic thing of what they ought to be doing.
But with a wire pipe cleaner.
Not a Wawa brush.
No, I thought about that. I don't think that would be good enough. But you could take, oh, I don't know, you know, one of those coat hangers, stick it up.
Okay, man. Jesus.
All right, well, I love your program, Phil. Thanks so much.
All right, sir. 1-800-449-8686. Okay, can you get him we need to put him on hold. 1-800-449-8686. Mike, put that old guy on hold so we can clear the line off. Well, what is he doing? Is he going to take a shower? I can hear a guy singing in the background. Get him to hang the phone up. Put him on hold, Mike, okay? Guy on hold because he's... Oh, come on. Put him on hold.
Oh, man.
Okay, Mike, I'm doing a talk radio segment here. I gotta have this. Can we please get somebody... Give me that hammer. Just give me the hammer. If I gotta disengage every line with a hammer, I'm gonna do that.
Oh! Yeah, it burns. Still got that infection from the war. Mm-hmm.
Give me that hammer.
Oh, Clarice, you there?
Get me that hammer! Oh, man. I had to smash the freaking matrix, but I did it. I mean, what else could I do? I'm sorry. You're going to have to get the guys to come in here with another phone bank. What are you telling me you can't put that guy on hold in there? Unbelievable. 1-800-449-8686. We're going to be talking a little... Will you please get the guy on hold, man? 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. We'll have to take a break. We got to take a break now.
Phil Hendry. Flashback.
So that was me doing the part of the man who called in, as well as me. And we do the show live. And people say, you spill every secret about your show. There is absolutely nothing hidden about your show. I gotta. This show is not like doing a magic act, because magic acts, everybody's seen a magic act before. They kind of get what's going on. Nobody's ever heard a radio show like this before. No one has ever heard anything like this show before, so I have to explain what's going on. Program directors, general managers, newspaper writers, David Letterman, their minds are coming out of their ears. They don't know what to make of this thing. So we got to explain it, lead them by the hand, step by step, by the numbers, read the directions. Here's how it works. Oh, you mean you do? Yeah, that's what we do. So it was just a regular, like I said, a magic act. Well, you see one magic act, you see another one, the guy giving away his tricks. Well, you shouldn't do that because I know that it's phony baloney, but it looks really cool. And this other guy does it really cool. And like David Copperfield, when he made the Statue of Liberty disappear, somebody said it was done with mirrors. I don't care. I don't want to know. But on this show, we got to say, because otherwise people haven't got a freaking clue. Unless you are a genius. And no, I'm not a ventriloquist. See, this was another one of these, you know, these radio writers who got no idea. They first of all, they can't write about radio as it is. So what makes them think they can even begin to approach writing about my show? So they come up with some, well, he's a ventriloquist. Well, you mean a guy that goes into character, he's a ventriloquist. I don't think that's any different. What I do is any different from what an actor does. So I'm not throwing my voice. I can't put it into a dummy. Well, I went out with a girl about 3 years ago, and I'm not throwing my voice. There ain't no dummy in this room other than Schaefer. But I'll tell you this. I'm kidding. Mike, you wrote that. I had to read it. So, no dummy to what I got between my... Okay, so I don't do that. But you know how it is. Radio is so insufferably devoid of any intelligent review. That's what they say. The guy's a ventriloquist. No, he just go into character, and that's how the show is done. And we hope this little explanation has made it more pleasurable for you so that you don't have to be afraid or scared or anything, okay? We appreciate the radio stations that carry our show, and we particularly appreciate our program director in Los Angeles, David Hall, who keeps saying he's going to visit us on Mondays and never shows up. And also wanted me to come visit him on Monday, but I was going to go, and thank God I didn't, because he wasn't in town and nobody called to tell me. So that's great. This guy in L.A., David, great man. Yeah, I'll see you Monday, Phil. Okay. This guy, he's the only guy I know that will make a hard and fast and definite appointment and then break it 3 hours before he's supposed to be there. And it isn't just me. I don't take it personally. Everybody here. Everybody. He walked up to Trevor the other day. It's been months since I've seen David. Months. Literally months. I'm going to have to get in the car and drive over there on the off chance that he's going to be there. And he says, Trevor says, I need to talk to you. I'll call you. No, you won't. He's looking. No, you're not. You got to talk to me now because I know you'll never call me. You can't be that busy. And I know what the problem is, David. You secretly, deep down, hate this business, and the less time you can spend in it, talking to people in it, the happier you'll be. And I understand that. But you and I, we're comrades. We've both lost a combined 100 pounds of fat. You have lost, what, 60? I've lost 40. That gives us, look at, next time you come over here to talk to me, we won't even talk about radio. We'll go and take a walk around the block. We'll get a salad. We'll get a blast of oxygen up at Woody Harrelson's bar. We'll stand around and look important, and then we'll split. Wasn't I the guy that walked you around the block when you had that anxiety attack? Huh? Wasn't I the guy? I wasn't? Well, I should have been. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Have you got the Best of the Phil Hendry Year 2000 CD or Plixure Disc Vinyl? Well, you're nuts. 877-616-7445. All the money goes to my friend's place. Right there.